Open your Bibles here this morning to Matthew chapter 13. We're continuing our study in the parables, kingdom parables. And Matthew chapter 13, and we find ourselves in verse 47 here, and this parable of the net, and as we find ourselves here this morning. Verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word as we look into this parable of the net. And I pray you guide our thoughts here this morning. And I thank you for your word, which is truth. And Lord, the blessedness of knowing the Almighty God, the creator of the universe. And I thank you for your word that you've given to us. It's a book of life. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book of instruction, a book of guidance for each of us, Lord. So Father, I pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see the great things that you have for us in your word and apply it to our lives. So bless us as we gather around your word. Help me be a vessel that brings glory and honor to thy great and holy name that blesses your people, Lord. And Lord, may we give you all the honor and praise for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, these parables here, as our Lord Jesus went through and shared them, he wanted us to know as God's people what the kingdom of heaven was like. What is God's kingdom like that we're going to live with him forever and ever? What is the kingdom of heaven going to be like? Well, just back up here for a few moments here at the beginning of chapter 13, and we have the parable of the sower. Now, what do we learn from the parable of the sower? Well, we learn there's different soils of the heart. Some people's heart, when they hear it, it doesn't do any good. It's on the byway. It's where the ground was hardened, and when the word was sown, the word of God was sown in their heart. The seed just bounced off of it. It didn't take any root. The birds of the air devoured it. Satan took the seed that's in somebody's heart. That's one type of heart. The second was the stony places. These are the people that receive the word of God, and they're very happy. They sprout. They're joyful. But when persecution or tribulation arise, they're offended and they fade away and they turn away. Well, the other kind of heart is those that, the choked heart, the one that grew up among the thorns and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. They're distracted, they're taken away from the things of God, the weeds just crowd them out and they are unfruitful. But in the parable of the sower, the last heart was a good heart. They received the seed. It was good ground. They heard the word of God. They understood it. And it says they bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. They bared some fruit. Well, as you continue to answer, that's the heart. So what do we take away from that? Each of us have a heart. And we're in one of those four places in God's kingdom. If we're... we all have a heart. So what is our heart toward the kingdom? Well, Jesus goes on and tells the parable about the tares and the wheat. And that parable basically is saying either you're in the kingdom or you're out of the kingdom. Either you're a wheat, either you're saved or you're not saved. And that parable makes it very clear that there's no such thing as half a Christian. Either you're born again or you're not born again. Well, then he goes on about the mustard seed and about God's kingdom. What does that mean? Well, basically, that parable is saying God's kingdom starts out small and it grows large. It starts out small and it grows to the whole ends of the earth. The mustard seed, very small, but it grows very large. And that's the word of God. And again, verse 33, the parable of the leaven. What does that mean? Well, it means that God's word permeates all of society and in the world, God's word is going out into the whole world. The woman put leaven into the into her meal, and then the whole was leaven. The permeating work of the Word of God all around the world. And then we looked at verse 44, the treasure in the field, and verses 44, and then the pearl of great price. Basically, what was that saying? That was saying to us that if you want to come to God, God wants all your heart. He wants everything about you that makes you you. You're surrendered to him. You give your all to him. Whatever it takes to get Jesus Christ, you're willing to give because you want all of him. And the pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus, the treasure hid in the field. They wanted this. And to be a true Christian, you want Jesus Christ. And you give all you can to obtain that eternal salvation by Jesus Christ. You give it all. He wants all of our hearts. Well, as we work down through here, we get finally to the end here, verse 47. The kingdom of heaven is like. Now he's painting another picture. What is it like? What can I compare it to? It's likened to a net. Now, you can't see it in the Bible here, but in the Greek, it's called a dragnet. Now, when men went fishing in those days, they had three basic ways that they fished. Do you remember when Jesus told Peter to take a hook and go and catch a fish, and the first fish that comes up, take the corn out of his mouth, go pay the temple tax? You remember that? Well, that's how you fish. You could fish with a hook. They were all well familiar with that. There was another kind of fishing that you did with a net, and this was like a one-man operation. They would have like a circle of a net with a cord attached to it, and you'd bind this thing up, and they would just sling it out into the water as hard as they could, and the outer edges would spin around, and this net would hit the water like this. It would sink down, and then when they pulled the rope, it would draw it together, and whatever fish, when it came down on and they pulled it back, they would catch. And that was like a one-man operation. That's another type of net. But this here, when it says net, it means, in the Greek, it means a dragnet, and that was totally different. Now, how do they fish with a dragnet? That was a bigger operation. Now, a couple of different ways with a dragnet. One, it was a huge net, and it was actually a vertical net. And what they would do, they would put wood at the top, so the net would float across the water. They put rocks at the bottom. And then, the two ways they do it, either they would station a stake on the shore, and then they would take a boat, and the boat would go out and make a semicircle coming around with this net. Now, this net was vertical, and it's going through the water like this, and it's catching everything in its path as it comes around, this drag net. And then they would pull to shore. Or they could take two boats, and they could start out, and then they'd come toward the shore. But either way, it was the same effect. This net was vertical, and it would catch anything in its path, and it was coming around. Now, when Jesus gave this illustration, he said, the kingdom of God is likened to a dragnet. And his disciples, what was their occupation? What did Peter want to do? He want to go fishing. They were fishermen. They understood exactly what he was talking about in this illustration. Likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. They knew when they did a dragnet. They knew when they cast it out and brought it in. They'd catch all kinds of things. They got it. They understood it. That's what's happening in verse 47. This net gathered of every kind. Verse 48, when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, the fish they wanted to keep, the ones that were sellable. Now, for a Jewish person, were there certain kinds of fish they couldn't eat? That's exactly right. In Leviticus, it tells them, could they eat a fish that had no scale? No, they couldn't. That was against the Levitical law. So, would you ever go to a Jewish home and have catfish on your plate? No. Do catfish have scales? No. Why? They're bottom feeders. They eat anything on the bottom. And God said, that's probably not a good kind of fish to eat. You don't know what that catfish been chewing on. If you like catfish, more power to you. I don't eat catfish, okay? But Jewish people, they wouldn't eat catfish. But this dragnet, when it's dragging along the bottom, it's gathering every fan of fish. So they'd sit down, and if it was a good fish, they could sell it to market, they kept it. If it was a bad fish, they'd toss it back in or do whatever with it. But they would go through and pick out the good from the bad. Now, that's the parable. Now, we've said before, a parable is an earthly story with what? A heavenly meaning. So what is God saying to us here? Well, so shall it be at the end of the world. Stop right there. This parable Jesus told, he gives us some understanding of why he told it. It has to do with the end times. Okay? This parable has to do with the end times. Now, I just told you the parable. Where does your mind take you in understanding? Where would your mind take you if Jesus said, this is at the end of the world? Well, at the end of the world, judgment day is going to happen. And he says in verse 49, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Now, I want you to think here for a minute here as he told this parable. This dragnet that fishermen used and to catch all kinds of things that were coming in, that net, when it was pulled, did it make any noise? No. But in the process of time, they kept moving it ever so slowly forward. And that net was getting ever so closer. Now, if you were a little fish, and or big fish, they hope there's big fish, and you were swimming around, and then that bumped up against you, what would you do if you were a fish swimming? You just scoot a little further ahead of the net, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that make sense? If that net bumped into you, you'd look behind you. You didn't know what it was, but you just swim on ahead, and then you'd be swimming around, and you think everything's good. But that net is drawing a little further, and it bumps you again. And so you swim a little bit, and you think you're free. You think everything's happy. You're a happy fish still, right? You're still a happy fish. But then the net bumps you again, and then at some point, the net bumps you on both sides. Because it's gotten so tight now, you're crowding into other people. Now, what does that say to us about God's kingdom? Well, to me, what that's saying is that judgment day is coming and everybody's in that net. Everybody's in that net, and that judgment day, every day that goes by, that net is a little tighter and a little tighter. And, you know, some people get bumped by God's word. They're convicted, and they get nudged. They feel that net on their back, and they just swim a little further ahead and think they're free and happy. And then they get bumped again. They have more conviction of God, but they don't care. They're just bumped a little bit. Some people are bumped, and they look at that net, and they say, what's that net there for? Oh, no, that's God's judgment coming upon me. I need to do something about that. And the smart fish get saved because they see that net coming. And they look to the left and they look to the right and they say, there's no way out of here for me. I need to do something. See, that net is a net of judgment. And the thing about that net is there's no escaping. See, people think, oh, I can just escape from the judgment of God. There's no escaping out of that dragnet. It's vertical. It goes from bottom, top to bottom. And when it's dragging along the bottom, it's gathering everything. You know, Jesus is telling this parable to warn people because as we work through all these parables, your heart issues, either you're in the kingdom or you're out of the kingdom, the tares of the wheat, you know, the church is going to grow, it's going to fill the whole earth, it's going to permeate society, all these things, but he gets down to the end here and he says, I want to tell you something. This net that's gone out into all the world, it is drawing tighter and tighter every day. Now, I want you to think about this. What happens to the fish when they get it to shore? They pull that net to shore, and what happens to the fish from the water to the land? They're what? Lifted out of it. Do you ever think about it? It's kind of like the resurrection of the just and the unjust. They're just lifted out of their natural element, and now they're in God's kingdom. Do you ever see that? You ever think about that in this parable here? As they're lifted out of that water, that's their natural element, and they're lifted into an element that is totally strange and foreign to them. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust one day. And you have this net that's gathering everything. And then there's coming this separation. The net that gathered, and then the separation. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever or separate the wicked from among the just. So in that verse right there, there's only two kinds of people in that verse. The wicked and what? The just. The saved and the unsaved. And the angel is going to go through picking the unjust and the saved. Now, what do they do for the saved? The saved were gathered together into a vessel. And for us as believers, that vessel is the kingdom of God. Where are you going to spend eternity at as believers? Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Father's face one day. That's heaven. We're going to be there forever. You know, you ever thought about, do you have any aches or pains here this morning? You ever think about in heaven, there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death? Lester's going to a funeral for his brother tomorrow. In heaven, there's no more funerals. An undertaker is out of business, okay? He's done. His career is over. You go to heaven, there's no more undertakers because there's no more death. That's a great place to be. That's what we have to look forward to. Now, as this net is tightening around everybody in this world, every day is a day closer to Judgment Day. That net is moving so slowly. And you may not see God's net moving, but that Judgment Day is coming ever so slowly. Now, for the wicked, it says the angels shall separate, sever the wicked from among the just. What does that mean for wicked people? That's a bad day for you. You're talking about a bad day? That's a bad day. What is hell like? Well, in Luke 16, the rich man, what did he want? Just one drop of what? Water. You ever been thirsty? How about when you realize you're in a place where you're not going to get a gallon of Turkey Hill iced tea? That's not going to happen. You're not going to get a cup of water. Maybe just one drop. Maybe I could just ask for one drop. And you're told, no, not even one drop. You know, it's a place of suffering. And how long does that last? Forever and ever and ever. You know, Jesus is making it pretty plain here. He wants people to know what God's kingdom is about. You know, some people just blow off God. They don't care. They don't care about God. They don't care about the things of eternity. They don't think about church, Bible, living a Christian life. They don't care. But God's got a word for you. You better care, because that net is coming and you're not going to escape. And when that net draws you in, you're not going to escape. You know, that should put a little fear into unbelievers this judgment day. And God said to them, look at verse 50. And he shall cast them into a furnace of what?
Fire.
Now, do people live forever, saved and unsaved?
Yes.
They do. Where do the unsaved live forever? In hell and the lake of fire. You ever thought about that? They live forever in hell and the lake of fire. You know, the rich man wanted a drop of water. Last time I knew, water put out fire. There's no water there. That fire burns forever and ever and ever. Place of suffering. And not only that, Jesus goes on to say there must be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That to me indicates great pain and suffering and agony. You know, this net that's coming is real. And time is marching on. Do you know that net is tighter than it was yesterday? Do you ever think about that? Do you know this net is twice as tight? Or maybe not twice, but tighter than it was 2 days ago. That net is drawing in ever so methodically. And one day sinners are going to realize they're going to bounce to this side of the net and that side, and they're going to say, oh no, I can't get out of here. And they're done. You know, God gives us, now, let me ask you a question. Adolf Hitler, was he a good guy or a bad guy? Bad guy. Should he be punished for what he did? Should he be punished for the 6 million Jews he killed ruthlessly? And should he be punished for that? Is there a just God in heaven that punishes people that do those kind of things? I think so. Does that seem right? It seems right to me that if a man does such evilness that they should be punished. So, in verse 50, he shall cast them in the furnace of fire. You know, some people have a problem with that. They say, well, how can a loving God... I remember hearing an Episcopal priest one time say this. He goes, I don't believe in hell because God doesn't spank his children forever. I thought, man, what some twisted theology that is. Because one, not every creation of God is God's child. You're only God's child through faith in Jesus Christ. You reject Jesus Christ... Hell wasn't made for us as humans. It was made for the devil and his angels. But if we reject God's provision of salvation, hell is our destiny. And God is very just in his dealing with unjust men. Now, if you're in, look at verse 48, and sat down and gathered the good, If you're right there, you know what you ought to be doing every day of your life? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I know God, and God has saved me from my sins. And you ought to have a deep appreciation for what God's done for you if you're there. If that net is coming and you know Judgment Day is coming and you know your sins are paid for and you know you've been redeemed and you know you've been saved, and you ought to be thanking God for your salvation, because there's others around you, they're not going to make it. And you better be thankful that God gave you a Christian parent or a Sunday school teacher or a soul winner or whoever it was that opened the Word of God and shared the gospel with you and you got saved. You're gathered the good into the vessels, the kingdom of God, and you're part of God's kingdom. You don't want to be in verse 50. That is for sure. That is for sure. You know, this net is moving ever so silently, but it's moving. Eternity is coming. This time on earth is coming to a close. Eternity is coming nearer every day. Well, verse 51, Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" That's a good question. We went through all chapter 13. Have you understood what God's kingdom's like? That's important. God gave us chapter 13 for us to understand. Do we understand it? And you know what the apostles said? They said to him, "Yea, Lord, we got it. We understand it." And God says, "Good. Therefore, every scribe," and that means a scholar in the Old Testament, every person knows the Old Testament. Now, they could only say that at this time because guess what? There was no New Testament written at this time. "But therefore, every scribe," Old Testament scholar, "which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like to a man, a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Well, what is that saying? Out of his treasure brought things new and old. Okay. To me, what that's saying, you have this Bible knowledge. And you're a householder. If you go to the store and you try to buy milk, what date milk is at the front that they push up front? The oldest. Do you ever reach back behind the other stuff and get the newest milk? I do that. Do you ever do that? You ever look at the dates on the milk? You try to get what? The good milk. But why do they put the old milk in front? Because they want to get rid of it. Because they know at some time it's going to go bad. If you're a householder of God's Word, you're bringing things in and out in a way that blesses people, and you use them wisely. You're thinking, you know, I don't want this to go to waste. How can I use it wisely? And if you're instructed into these things, this chapter 13, he says, "Therefore, every scholar in the Old Testament, you know the Bible, you're instructing the kingdom of heaven, you're like a man that's a householder. You're in charge of these things, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." I don't want to waste anything. Old Testament, New Testament, I don't want to waste anything. I want to bless people with them. Because if you set them aside, guess what? It's wasted in a sense. Guess what? If God poured all this truth into you and you just soaked it up like a sponge and sat there with it, what good is that doing to others? Because how shall people hear except one be sent? And how beautiful are them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings. You know, God doesn't want us to be those that just soak it up but not give it out. So if you understand these things, these treasures, this scripture is in your heart, you're going to take care of it and you're going to use it wisely so nothing goes to waste. Now, is that a big responsibility? Sure it is. Because I guarantee you, you know somebody that don't know God. I guarantee you know somebody that don't know God. And I guarantee you know somebody that the Word is choked in their life. They say they know God, but they're not living for God. The cares of this world is choked. You know, you've got all this knowledge. Why don't you do something with it? Why don't you do something with it that you bring these treasures out? And the Word of God is a rich treasure that you can bless people with. Well, as we end this chapter here, chapter 13, these kingdoms, these are rich parables for us to understand God's kingdom, how it's working. So let us pray here. Dear Lord, I just thank you as your people that, God, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And Lord, I thank you that, God, you've given us this Word that we can enjoy and be blessed by. But Lord, as a householder, Lord, may we bring out the old and the Old Testament, the New Testament, that we don't let anything go to waste, God, that we bless people and we give it to people, that they can be enriched and have an understanding of you. So, Lord, help us to see that this net of judgment is coming upon all, but we as believers will be gathered into the good vessels, but the unbelievers will be cast away into outer darkness. Lord, may that put some urgency into our lives and some desire and some passion to bring men and women and boys and girls to you that know you, Lord. Lord, help us not be weary in well-doing, because we know in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So help us toward that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.